The content of this interview and comments made by the CEO of Mullen Automotive Incorporated, collectively the company, is for discussion purposes only. The company does not represent that the information provided is accurate or complete in all respects, and it should not be relied upon as such. The interview contains forward-looking statements which are subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions. In some cases, you can identify these statements by forward-looking words such as may, might, will, should, expect, plan, anticipate, believe, estimate, predict, optimistic, potential, future, or continue. The negative of these terms and other comparable terminology. Such forward-looking statements are based on current plans, estimates, and expectations and are made pursuant to the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements are based on known and unknown risks, assumptions, uncertainties, and other factors. The company's actual results, performance, and achievements may differ materially from any future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. The company does not assume responsibility for the accuracy or completeness of any forward-looking statement, and you should not rely on forward-looking statements as predictions of future events. The company is under no duty to update any of these forward-looking statements to conform them to actual results or revise expectations. Any investment in Mullen Automotive, Inc. will be subject to certain risks related to the nature of the company's business and the structure and operations of the company. Any investment in the company should be made only with an appreciation of the applicable risks, which are described in the company's filings with the SEC. This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by OTC.watch, where investors go to find big data on small companies. That's OTC.watch. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you a brand new company. It came on our radar about 6 months ago, and I'm super excited to have this gentleman on my show. The name of the company is Mullen Automotive, Inc. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol MULN. And with us today is the founder, chairman, CEO of the company, Mr. David Mitchery. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure to be on your show.
You know, I've been following you now for 6 months. You came on my radar, and I knew about the roadshow. You guys started off in Sacramento, then you went down to Orange County. Now you're out in Dallas. Give us for the listeners, give us some feedback. How's the show going? Your interpretation of your thoughts about that.
Well, show's going great. The response has been amazing. I know that we have a film crew out there with the guys as they tour, getting live feedback from the most important people, the people in the vehicle that are driving the vehicle. And, you know, that means more than anything to us to be able to, you know what they think, how the styling, the aesthetics, how our persona, which is our intellectual IP, what do they think about that, how it works, the infotainment system. We're pretty proud of what we've developed as a very unique and proprietary infotainment system that works in conjunction with our state-of-the-art persona technology. The response has been overwhelming. People really love this car. But, you know, we knew that when we debuted the vehicle last November at the LA Auto Show, and the response was overwhelming. It won, you know, best electric SUV at the show. It was the ZEV Award there, and then that's just carried forward. Now that there's an actual vehicle that people can, you know, get in and drive, and, you know, it's just they were amazed that a vehicle that looked that good could be that aggressive and handle the way that it does, and the technology behind it is a comparable, you know, on a comparable level. There's nothing else out there that does what we do. So I think Persona is going to be at some point a real big hit. It's next level technology.
Are you guys taking orders right now? Are you letting anybody put any down payment money on that?
Yeah, absolutely. We have been, and we continue to. We've noticed that the orders have spiked tremendously. As an example, during events, we'll have maybe 35, 40, 50 people But these people will go out and they'll tweet, they'll share their experience at the show with their followers or within their social media platform.
Absolutely.
And then we'll see a residual effect in the form of increased demand for the product. It's been very consistent.
How much is the down payment?
Well, it's a reservation. It's $100.
Okay.
And what it does is buys you a spot in that vehicle. We really believe that this thing is going to catch on fire now that people can touch it, feel it, see it. We're also excited too because derivative version of it, which is the Mullen 5 RS, that version is going to hit. We'll have it here in our possession next month, but it'll join the show in March. And that car's a beast. I mean, it's just a 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds. And it'll go over 200 miles an hour. See, a lot of people, when they talk about that they can go 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds, they don't tell you what their top speed is.
Right.
So it compromises on one end or the other. So a car that can go, 0 to 60 under 2 seconds maybe only has a top speed of 165, 175 miles an hour. We want, that was unacceptable to us. We wanted to make sure that we could not only go 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds, but we could go over 200 miles an hour, not just 200, over 200 miles an hour.
Wow.
That was important, not just to the company, but to me as well. So with that being said, we're excited that not only the demand plus the excitement around the Mullen 5, but what will become what I believe to be a generational type of vehicle. When people get to experience the RS in March of 2023, I think this takes this to a whole nother level.
I want to change gears here for a second. You've been very active as a CEO, pressing palms, making deals. The three deals I want to talk about today, one is Newgate, Elms, and then also Bollinger Motors. Starting off with Newgate, you just signed a distribution deal with them out there in Ireland for the Aygo. My question is who's going to be manufacturing the Aygo, and what do you think you guys are going to make off of those cars?
Well, that's a real good question. The Aygo, first, is a unique vehicle. Obviously, it's all electric, but it's a small cargo delivery vehicle that you can use in small areas, meaning where parking is an issue, where streets are small, where the density of people is you're busting at the seams, so there's really not a lot of room to maneuver. And in areas like that, you'll see a lot of bicycles or mopeds. We believe that in order to be efficient, you have to have the capability of delivering goods, and we thought of a unique approach, which is a small urban utility delivery vehicle that can do last mile delivery. And so Henry Automotive partnered up with us to deliver this vehicle to the European market, specifically Germany, France, Spain, UK, and Ireland. And if it works out well there, we'll bring it to the U.S. and homologate it for U.S. But currently that vehicle's homologated for the EU.
Right.
Newgate.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Newgate is a established dealer in Ireland that carries brands like Mercedes-Benz. They got a good reputation. I believe they're the largest in Ireland. They also sell into the United Kingdom. So we partnered up with them to be able to get the product not only into the market, but we were concerned about being able to service the product, offer warranty, parts, and we feel that they're a good partner to be able to do that with. And so that's the first strategic partner in two pretty good markets, the UK and Ireland. The next market for us will be Germany. We're excited about that market, as well as the potential for a great revenue stream here. Obviously, we like to operate in the profit margin, in 10 to 15%, depending on what we offer to the dealers for co-op advertising or chargebacks that will allow to accelerate the marketing of the Aygo. So, an overall, if you would say, look at what they consider to be a profit potential margin on that vehicle, I would say somewhere right around 10%.
Gotcha. And those revenues are going to start falling on the first quarter of next year, correct? Because you guys are going to roll this out in December, I heard?
Yeah, that's correct. We're actually preparing to deliver the first vehicles to Newgate now. So, you know, things are happening now.
You picked up the Elms assets for practically on a dime. You know, people want to know, how much did you really pay for it? And when are you going to take possession? And what's the value?
Sure. I can, again, refer to the court documents that were filed in the United States Bankruptcy Court that outline, you know, what those assets are and what the company, meaning Elms, valued them at going into bankruptcy and what the United States trustee validated. This was an auction. We were the stalking horse, so we established the price. I believe we're at somewhere just under $100 million without cure payments to the suppliers. I think collectively with cure payments, we're somewhere right around $120 million plus. So that's an approximation of where we would be. It was supposed to close yesterday, and we were given an extension due to the title insurance. The title company would not provide title insurance without a land survey. And so right now I know that that they're doing all of the necessary entitlements in order to affect the close. We're prepared and ready to go. We have the cash on hand to close. It's now just with escrow and with title. Once title insurance is issued, we'll close. We anticipate closing in the next 5 to 10 days.
Awesome. Your stock right now is currently under a dollar. You guys are on the NASDAQ. Last time it was above a dollar, it was in July of this year. That being said, what are your thoughts of getting this above a dollar?
Well, fundamentals, you know, simple answer, right? Get out there and deliver. And we're doing that. You know, people were skeptical about our our ability to show them a product. We showed them, you know, a product at the LA Auto Show, and then we showed them a drivable vehicle, a demonstrator, and we specifically focused on our technology, because that's what makes us important, is our intellectual property, which is our persona and our infotainment, as well as how this vehicle is going to perform and the specs that it has. These are all very unique aspects of the vehicle that make it special. But what's more important than anything else is being able to, you know, deliver product, get it to the consumer, collect on it. And again, all of the hype and the potential about future potential that everybody, all of the SPACs and all the guys over the last 2 years that, you know, riding that wave, I knew it was going to come down to who can actually perform, deliver, and collect. And so we're very confident that with deals like we're making, and we're making a lot of deals. I can only talk about the ones that have been publicly disclosed, like Newgate, but we've also, you know, are finalizing deals across the board with a lot of different companies. So, you know, again, we're in the process of, you know, getting everything worked out with the Systems Award Management, which is SAM, and, you know, getting our cage code active and all the things we would need to, you know, to be able to work, you know, with our government. There's no guarantee that, you know, anything will happen, but the fact that they're contacting us, you know, we're not soliciting them, they're coming to us, is a good sign.
Speaking of that, with the Biden administration, do you think you guys are going to get any kind of Pell money or grant money from them with the EV bill that's getting ready to, you know, be approached?
You know, I tell people we got to do it the old-fashioned way. I keep thinking about this commercial that used to come out, you know, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago. And I think it was a Smith Barney commercial, and I can't remember the guy. He would walk around and he would tell people, we make money
the old-fashioned way.
We earn it.
It's true. That is true.
And that's the first thing that pops into my head. You know, nothing is easy for us. You know, we're going to have to go out there and work extra hard. You know, I don't expect any handouts from anybody. I expect to be the hardest working guy. I expect to get out there and have to earn every opportunity. Get out there and compete with everyone to get that business, to take that product, not just commercial product, but also retail product, and get it out there and establish, you know, fundamentals. Get out there and, you know, stop talking about potential. Get rid of that word and focus on deliverables. And
right,
here's what we've done. You know, here's this order. Here's that order. Here's this delivery. Here's that delivery. Here's receivable.
I was going to say, speaking of that, what excites you the most about doing the deal with Bollinger Motors?
To tell you the truth, honestly, I was amazed I even had the opportunity to buy that company or to buy, you know, controlling interest in that company. I always thought it was a General Motors company because when I first saw that B1, I said to myself, that has to be GM and that has to be
right,
the successor to the H1. I thought first when I looked at it back in 18 or 19, to me it was absolutely beautiful. I remember trying to find a salesperson so I could buy one, and I was upset that there was nobody around the vehicle. They just had it sitting there at the LA Auto Show.
That's
with
funny.
No one around it, you know, and I was like upset, and I just assumed it was a GM product because I knew that GM had, you know, everything to do with the Hummer, and I just figured this was a continuation of that, and I was like, wow, what a home run. GM has the, you know, successor to the H1. And little did I know that, you know, that, you know, that wasn't the case, and that this guy, Robert Bollinger, you know, visionary, built an amazing vehicle that can actually outperform the H1. It's heavy duty, and it has everything you could possibly want, you know, for an off-road vehicle. I remember watching an episode with Jay Leno, and Jay Leno's out in the desert with this vehicle and just ratting and raving about how amazing this thing is and what an amazing off-road vehicle, but then it performed amazingly well, you know, on the streets as like a
right,
normal vehicle. Here was a car that could be used off-road and go places that not even a Jeep can go. I mean, I'm talking about some of the most challenging terrains in America, you know, up in Utah, up in Colorado, and then this thing performing like a champ. When I got the opportunity to go and study, physically go look at the components, all the IP, and they make, for example, the lower arms, upper arms, proprietary gearing, proprietary, just the technology on how this thing was built and the and how heavy duty it is and how lightweight it is. And you know, the CEO there, Robert Bollinger, telling me, look, there's some lightweight alloy steel armor piercing material that we can line with this vehicle and make it, you know, provide it with armor in the time, you know, for time of war.
Right.
And I thought to myself, wow, you know, I knew that the H1 wasn't armored. All they did was take a piece of steel and weld it to the bottom of the H1 to protect it against, you know, improvised devices that would explode.
Exactly. And UIDs, yeah.
Yeah, and so
I got about 2 minutes left if you want to finish your thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought it was a great vehicle. I think the potential is amazing. We also had a United States four-star Air Force retired general looking at it. And so, you know, there's a lot of activity with this vehicle. I think it's a special vehicle. I thought it back in 2018-19 that it was a successor to the H1, and I still believe that. After 30 years of service, the H1 at some point is going to have to be retired. And what better vehicle to retire it to other than the B1? You know, you have the B-52, and it retired to the B-1 bomber.
Right.
How about the H-1 retired to the B-1?
I love it. You got so many moving parts going on. I do think you're one of the hardest working CEOs on the NASDAQ. That being said, where do you plan on assembling all these vehicles and models?
Well, you're going to love this. Part of the ALMS transaction was us being able to purchase that Mishawaka, Indiana facility. Ironically, that's where General Motors produced the Hummer,
at
that exact facility. And ironically, the platform and all the equipment is geared for that Class 3 vehicle. Wouldn't that be nice if Mullen could actually acquire that facility, take the B1, you can paint the bodies, the body on whites in there. We've been to a very sophisticated paint shop that could produce 14 jobs an hour. I mean, I looked at, we hit a, you know, this is the lotto. We, you know,
right.
We, we strategically acquired Bollinger, and then went out strategically and quietly and acquired the Elms assets to be able to produce the B1 and B2 in high volume, and hopefully for our government as well as for everybody else in the, on this planet. But that facility has the capability of producing 50,000 vehicles, and that's just a start. We can go multiple shifts. We can do a lot up there, but it's a fully functional, real factory, not Mercedes. I believe they did contract manufacturing for Mercedes-Benz there, as well as built the Hummer there. So this, and it's not an old facility. It's actually very, very nice. And so I'm very excited. I felt like I hit the lotto twice with Bollinger and the asset acquisition of Elms. And now it's time to deliver. It's time to get out there and make some product and get it to the consumers. And the amount of money we saved and the amount of time is amazing. Our normal, and I'll leave you with this if we got a minute.
Absolutely.
Our normal plan called for us to spend almost $1.3 billion to ramp up our Tunica, Mississippi facility, enabling it to be able to produce the Mullen 5 SUV. That would mean we were adding about 1 million square feet. And that would include, obviously, a body shop, paint shop, all the things you would need to go into high-volume production. So think about this. For a little over $100 million, not only did we get all the assets IP, but more importantly, we got a factory that we could not duplicate for less than $1 billion. Well, I was there, Door, which built the paint shop, I believe there was another company that was looking at buying these Elms assets, asked Door to come look at the paint shop and ask them what would it cost that if they wanted to move that paint shop to Mexico. Door told them to move that paint shop to Mexico would be $500 million.
Wow.
And so I know that there's well over $1 billion of value there, just in that factory alone. So from my perspective, forget about the savings, not having to spend $1 billion to get to start a production, but not just start a production on one line of vehicles. You have the B1, B2, Mullen 5, and 5RS. I plan on building those vehicles in Mishawaka in a high volume capacity. I accelerate my path to start a production by 2 years, meaning I'm able to not have to wait, the 3 to 4 years to build a factory.
Right.
And I don't care what anybody says. You have to go out, get permits. You got to get a tentative track map approved. You got to go vertical. You got to do all of these things. That takes time. So no one can get a factory from a brownfield to a turnkey proposition in less than 3 or 4 years. At maximum speed.
I concur.
We were blessed with a turnkey operation at a major discount. So what I just did, or we as a collective group, we were able to save our shareholders $1 billion.
Before I let you go, what is it that you really want my listeners to take away from today's interview?
That this company is dedicated to building quality products in America by Americans. And we're going to employ people. We're going to start by employing all the people that lost their jobs in Mishawaka, Indiana, and put them back to work. And then around the world, we're going to put people back to work. We're going to give them opportunity, and we're going to make America great again.
My guest today has been David Mitchery. He is the founder and chairman of Mullen Automotive, Inc. Look them up. They're on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol MULN. Sir, I want to thank you for your time and coming on the show. I hope you become a regular and come back every 40 or 50 days and give us an update.
Absolutely. Look, I want to thank you for the opportunity. And I tell people all the time, what we say doesn't mean anything. The only thing that matters is the results. So, hopefully the next time we talk, we can talk about some real results.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.